Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 15 of the podcast. In amongst the interviews with MDs and CEOs, I'm working hard to bring you interviews with subject matter experts who can help us all be even better leaders for the organizations and individuals that we have the privilege and responsibility to lead. In season one, we heard from my good friend and physiologist, Professor Greg Wells. And my team and I are working really hard now to bring you in season two, a professor of applied neuroscience. In another episode, we're hoping to have an excellent nutritionist for you to learn from. But in today's episode, we are joined by Leslie Everett. Leslie is an internationally recognized professional keynote speaker and specialist on leadership branding and the personality of brand. She's known for her content-rich, engaging, practical advice and delivery. Leslie has been presenting her walking tour system in 28 countries across 5 continents. She's a published author of 3 books, including her latest one, Corporate Brand Personality. She's an executive brand and brand management coach with an impressive client list that includes companies such as Salesforce, Deloitte, Asda Walmart, and JetBlue, to name but a few. Leslie is the founder and CEO of Walking Tall Training and Consulting, with offices in the US and UK. She has created a methodology for personal branding that has inspired audiences for in excess of 16 years. In this episode, we dig into and explore what we actually mean by personal or leadership brand, some of the key things we need to be thinking about, and some of the particular nuances we need to be considering right now whilst working from home on endless Zoom and Teams calls. I know you are absolutely going to love this episode, so without any further delay, please enjoy my interview with Leslie Everett. So, hi, Leslie. Welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on the show. How are you and whereabouts in the world are you?
Hi, Ben. Well, thanks for inviting me. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. So I'm now based over in Monterey, in California, which is wonderful. So we have some great weather over here, not so much with the fires, but we're getting through those, certainly in this area anyway. So, yeah, great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure. So, Leslie, the very first question I always like to ask guests who come on the show to give the listeners a little bit of context is, what's the current role? What are you doing these days? And if you can, give us a little bit of the backstory that got you there, please.
Yes, thank you. Well, I'm well known for the brand Walking Tall, which is a leadership brand and personal brand methodology that I first started to develop back in the UK about 17 years ago. And it was really around the how do you project yourself authentically and how do you truly articulate what your expertise is and who you are and what you really want to be known for and what you want people to say about you behind your back. So I developed a methodology back then. I didn't have a name for it at the time, but I had a contract with McGraw-Hill for a book, and they kept pushing me for the title. And I had to think about something that was relevant to me and my backstory. And Walking Tall just came to me. I'm only 5'1½ tall. I don't know whether we've ever met face to face, Ben, but I'm pretty sure. But it was about standing out from the crowd. So I called the book Walking Tall, the first book, and then I rebranded the whole company. I've been delivering it to FTSE 500 companies for several years, a lot of senior executives on one-on-one coaching, keynote speaking on the whole topic of leadership brand and personal brand. And that's really what Walking Tall does. And then 6 years ago, I worked with my husband in the business, and we decided that we could really be anywhere in the world as long as I could get to an airport fairly easily, or those were the days when I could fly more easily than now. And as long as we had Wi-Fi. And so we have trainers around the world and coaches that deliver the methodology. So, yeah, that's a little bit in a nutshell of the backstory of Walking Tall.
That's amazing. And for everybody listening, actually, and for you, Leslie, I've actually got a copy of the Walking Tall book sitting on the desk in front of me, which I must admit, I'd I'd not read the book, but we know each other from my time working in the Leadership Academy at Tesco. And so I saw your online program there, but I'd highly recommend the book to people as well.
Thank you. Yes, it's been the latest one now is Corporate Brand Personality. So Walking Tall's been around for a while, but I've published a couple since then.
Amazing. So you spoke a little bit there about sort of what a leadership brand is, and I guess why we should be thinking about it. But where do we actually start? For those people who have got aspirations to become a managing director or CEO in the future, or really anybody kind of aspiring towards a senior leadership position, where do they start in terms of building and identifying what their brand is?
Yeah, I think it's the first thing to realize that this is not an option anymore to have a good solid brand if you want to get to where you want to be in your career. And your brand is there anyway, whether you've consciously thought about it and developed it or not. And it's quite simply what people say about you behind your back when you're not in the room. And it's how they describe you to other people. So it's there already. But it's absolutely crucial now if we really want to be talked about and recommended and marketed, if you like, in the way that we want to, that we take control of it so that we think about what it is we want people to say about us. We think about what we want to be well known for. And that's really where we start with our leadership brand. You know, what is it we want to be well known for? What is our core expertise? What are my core characteristics and values? And we really need to set aside time to do that. And with brand, like anything, that's a leadership brand, personal brand, product brand, whatever, I always believe that brand equals the bold intention of what we set out to do, but your reputation is the reality. And that's the difference between brand and reputation. Reputation is the reality of what you deliver. And that's the piece that will get talked about, not the piece where you spend a lot of time thinking about all the websites and the logos and the clever marketing blurb. It's about actually how you make people feel. And that's the reputation that builds from the reality. So it's not optional anymore. And particularly in the world we're in, we need to build trust with everyone around us, particularly if we're working with clients and in business development and business growth. We've really got to be thinking about the trust element. And the brand that we build basically says to people, this is what you get when you work with me.
Got it. And I hadn't planned to ask you this question, Leslie. So as you were talking about reputation there, I just wondered, is reputation the same or is it different to perception? Because so often we hear the phrase on training courses, kind of on articles written on the topic of leadership and personal development, that somebody's perception is their reality. So just wonder if you have a view on that.
Yeah, it is something that's overused, isn't it? Perception is reality. Well, I think the perception people have is their reality, but we can take more control of that by the longer term reputation that we build up. So, you know, we have interactions with people all the time and maybe they're not always as positive as we want them to be. But if we're solidly building up the layers of the reputation and the expertise and the credibility that we need to have, if we have an interaction that isn't quite where it needs to be, as long as you've got the backup of the brand bucket of good stuff that we put out there, then it's not going to damage too much. So yes, the perception is the reality in the eyes of that person at that time, but the impact of that will be based on the solid reputation that you've built already to that point. So it is about perceptions, and we need to make sure that the brand we project is very much in alignment with who we really are, authentically, and what we want people to know about us rather than leaving it to chance. So I think even though it's a cliche, it's there. It's their reality at that time, but it's impacted by the solidness of the reputation we've built.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I get a sense as well that when we start to consciously think about our personal brand, our leadership brand, for many of us, part of that will be aspirational. I guess we start to think about how we would like people to be thinking about us, talking about us. There might be some work that we need to do. So what would your advice be for an individual once they've sort of worked out what they would like people to be saying about them? How do we then find out what people are actually saying about us? And what do we do if we realise there's a gap there to be closed?
Yeah, it's a good question. And the very first point I would say is really sitting down and working out what it is at this point in our career, in our lives, what is it we want people to be saying about us? What are we actually an expert in? And once we've done that without being influenced by any feedback, because I think there's a slight aside here, we do as we go through our careers at all levels, we get an awful lot of feedback coming in that often we can react to in a way that isn't in alignment with our brand. And we react to bad feedback sometimes, and then we go to exactly the opposite side of the scale. And I remember working for a big one of the big four companies, accountancy firms, a few years ago, and I was working on their partner track program where they had highlighted partners of the future, and they were put through a very intensive 3-day program that they asked me to observe, where they were doing presentations, one-to-one interviews, group discussions, and they asked me to observe this and then write a report on each of these people. There's about 30 of them, and then work with them individually. And I found that during this whole partner track program, they had so much feedback that they kind of lost who they were. So what we did was bring them back to, well, how do you want to be perceived? What is your expertise? And then let's map over the feedback to see where the gaps are and what you need to work on most, rather than ad hoc and frantically working on all of that feedback. So we first of all need to decide who we are and what our expertise is, what that golden thread is of our expertise, and who, what we want to be known for. And then the feedback is very important. So we can then ask people specific questions about how do they feel when they work with us? What is it you get from me when you work with me? What's the end result of the work that we do together? How do you feel about the work we do? And if we're asking very open questions, we can map that feedback over the brand that we really want to project and see where the biggest development areas are. So we do it in a much more structured and strategic way, I guess.
Yeah, brilliant. And just for clarity, I guess, for everybody listening, I just wonder if that if there are particular core elements that make up our personal or leadership brands. I've heard you talk about knowing what you want to be perceived as an expert in. So to me, that sounds like your sort of hard skills and competencies. I've heard you talk about sort of who we are. So really that to me feels like behaviors, values, etc. But are there some core buckets we need to be thinking about?
Those are all obviously important. So the skills and competencies, behaviors, attitude, you know, how you show up, your nonverbal communication is key as well, your digital reputation that you build up with all the layers that you might add there. But I think the skills and competencies, you know, it's obviously been a focus area for a long time. I take it a lot deeper than that and look at how you can you differentiate yourself by looking at the absolute combination of skills, experiences that build up your unique differentiator. So, yes, it is the skills. But what I take people through is to look at what is your absolute expertise? What are the expert insights you have into the area that you work in that solves a problem for the client, whoever the end client is? You know, what is the problem they don't even know they've got sometimes, because you have that insight into that that you can help them with, and looking at why they, what the cause of that problem is, what the cost of that problem is to them in revenue or a lost opportunity or financial impact, whatever, and then your solution to that. So it goes for, as far as branding is concerned, we need to get to the depth of that in what your core expertise and your core expert insights are into that golden thread of your unique differentiator. So that would be something I would absolutely add to that. It's no longer good enough just to say, as you well know, I'm a leadership coach. Well, what specifically about leadership do you do? You know, it's no longer good enough just to say I'm a tax advisor. You know, what is it that you actually do that gets a great end result for your clients? So there's absolutely that area that I think makes the work that we do different, but also really sets the great leadership brands aside from the rest.
That's great. And it's a lovely lead in, Leslie, to the next question I wanted to ask you, which is around something I saw on the showreel on your website from a clip of one of your presentations back in the day when we could get hundreds of people together in a room to give a presentation, right? But I heard you speak about managing our brand more consciously and more consistently. So I wanted to ask, what two or three tips would you share for listeners around how we might do that?
Yeah, I mean, consistency is so important, because if we're not consistent, we create confusing messages and then we make it really difficult for people to refer us. So if we can get crystal clear, and I mean crystal clear, about our value set and our brand differentiators, what we want to be known for. And that, you know, that can take some time. This is not a 5-minute exercise. This can take quite some time to really get to the core of that. But be crystal clear, absolutely, to start with, because if we're not crystal clear, we're not going to be consistent. And keep it fresh. So don't just do what you've always done. You know, with the personal branding that I set out to do to start with, it used to be more about image, and it merged away from that, and more authenticity, and then leadership brand. And the stuff that I put out on social media and the keynotes that I develop, I just keep them fresh with the current messages that are relevant in the world right now. I've just developed a keynote called Reputation Equals Referrals, for example. And that really is about your brand, but it's, you know, referrals are so important to us right now. So keep it fresh and set yourself benchmarks to be consistent. And what I mean by that is how many times a month do you want to be building your visibility, putting something out there on social media that's in alignment with your expertise? How many new clients do you want to have? How many presentations do you want to do that absolutely expresses something about your brand? Whatever your world is, set yourself some attainable benchmarks over the course of a 30-day period. And if you keep to those, you'll just keep consistent. So another thing I often use, you may have seen this as well, Ben, is I use the analogy of a pearl in an oyster that defines your brand and reputation a lot, because it starts off with the core in the middle, and then the pearl organically grows over a period of time as we add layers to it. And that's exactly the same as your brand, and everything you do adds a layer every day, whether that's a face-to-face meeting, a remote meeting, a presentation, a video, a social media post, a text. You're adding a layer to it and it gradually evolves. But we need to keep ourselves consistent. And I think the image of the pearl and the oyster can really help keep us on track and think about the layers we're adding every day to help build that brand.
Yeah, that's great. And as you was talking there, Leslie, my mind went back to my time working at Tesco in my last corporate job before I started building my own business. And one of the challenges that I had at the time, which I think is quite common, a lot of my clients talk to me about this, is when we're employed by a big organization, there's a certain degree where we need to promote ourselves. We really need to be thinking about our personal brand so we get thought about for those new opportunities if that's what we are looking for. For some of us, I think we can struggle to promote ourselves because it doesn't feel that congruent, or it feels like we're being overly political, or for some of us in the UK, it just feels not very British. What would you say to those people, and how do we strike that balance between having a really strong, authentic brand that positions ourselves well, but without overdoing it and overly promoting ourselves, if that's even such a thing?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think sometimes the words personal brand do conjure up this, you know, you can overdo it, and is it a little bit false, and it's too mercenary, it's too much about me. So sometimes the word brand doesn't work, but it's more about the reputation. And when I'm coaching people particularly, what I'll delve into and really work on hard is that if you're being the best you can be, and if you can define your expertise and the value that you bring to your team, to your company, and you're not just somebody who goes through the motions every day, if you work on that, which is obviously great for you, it helps the company, because the company then get the most from you. And I always say to companies that there is a couple of things, that your brand today really is what your clients say about your brand to their contacts. That's how your brand builds, your reputation builds. It's no longer just about logos and advertising and websites. And therefore, that interaction that people have, that they talk about, always comes from a person. So that person really is the brand. So we need to have team of people. We need to have employees who really are clear about what their brand is and what their value is that they bring to the organization. So companies are starting to realize that, and this investment in individual brands, and individuals can really understand why that's important, because it's what the company needs. So as long as you can get over that piece, well, it's not just about me, it's about how I serve my clients best, and it's how I serve my company best, then it's kind of plain sailing from that point on. So it's not just all about me. I call it a new wave of branding, often, when, especially for leaders within an organization, if you can develop leaders with strong, identifiable brands that are differentiated, that aren't just about being the marketing director of XYZ company, but actually being an expert in a particular field, that person gets more exposure external to the company on panels, on media interviews, with presentations at conferences. And obviously that brings in PR for the business, because it's about the personality of the business that's getting out there via people. So it's a very holistic way of looking at it, and it's benefit to the business and to the individual. And when both sides realize that, it's very powerful.
Yeah. And so what do we do, Leslie, if having invested the time and done the hard work in really starting to understand our personal brand, our expertise, what we stand for, the values, the behaviors, all of that good stuff, if having done that, we suddenly realize that I'm going to use the word softer skills, but actually I don't think these are the softer skills. I think these are the hard skills. But if we suddenly realize that some of the values that we hold deeply true and some of the behaviors that are really important to us don't actually match with those of the organization, then what do we do as a leader then? Is that sustainable or not, in your view?
It's a question that I've been asked a number of times, and it's an obvious one to ask, actually, because you think, well, you know, how likely is it that my values match those of my company? However, when I'm either working with groups of people or coaching people, if we allow them, give them the tools and techniques to really understand how to interpret a corporate brand value in their own authentic way and internalize that, then it's very, very rare that somebody is not aligned to the corporate values. Now, of course, there will be instances, and probably in my career, I may have come across two or three people where I've coached and really they're not in alignment. Maybe the company's not working as ethically or in alignment with their values as they want to. So that can happen. But what companies fail to do a lot of the time is to give individuals the tools to say, these values that we spend millions of dollars on creating for the business and saying, this is what we want the business to be about. If we can educate people and give them a toolkit to say, that value means this to me, therefore, these are the things I'm doing every day that support that, then it works well. And that pretty much 99% of the time works. So, for example, a common value that companies might have today is integrity. And they might say it in various different ways. But it might not be one of the top values that individuals say they've got. There might be lots of other things. But everybody interprets integrity in a different way. For some, it might be honesty. Some, it might be about doing what you say you're going to do. Some, it might be the best possible advice. It might be about trust. Everybody has an interpretation of what the values are, and therefore, that's what it means to them. So then we start to look at, well, what are you doing every day that lives and breathes that value for you? Because ultimately, that's actually going to support the company value. So there is alignment. And it's not always obvious that alignment's there. And that's where a lot of companies fall short of making sure that individuals support the corporate values.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And also, Leslie, in many of your videos that I've seen and books, I've heard you talk a lot about consistency, which we touched on a few minutes ago. But that really resonates with me, because in my work, I talk a lot about what I call the peak performance formula, which is basics done well plus ruthless consistency, which gets us to peak performance. So as I said, we've touched on the consistency piece, but are there a couple of those basics that we need to do brilliantly well in terms of nailing our brand and being really, really consistent? Where do we start?
So building on what we've said before about this, I think the core to being consistent is being authentic. And that really is the basic thing. It's not about trying to be somebody we're not just so we look good, because then you're not going to be consistent. And it always reminds me of a little story when I first wrote the book Walking Tall. And people had said to me over the years, well, look at Richard Branson, because he's pretty bad at the way he projects himself. He doesn't speak very well, doesn't present well. He shuffles around when he's being interviewed. He's very bad at the eye contact piece. And he's really, his personal brand himself is certainly the nonverbal bit is not great. So people have often said to me, but he's really successful. So what do you say about that? When I wrote the book, I asked him for an interview and he gave me an interview. And I was very careful about the words I chose for one particular question. And what I said to him was, for somebody who I know focuses a great deal on a brand image within your Virgin Group of companies, you seem to break a lot of the image rules yourself personally. What do you put your success down to? And he gave me a very long answer. Shortened version is this. He said, when I started out in business in the City of London 35 odd years ago, everybody was in their pinstripe suits, their bowler hats, and had long lunches in private clubs. And I broke conformity. And then he said, and when you break conformity to that degree, how can you fail to succeed? And I thought, wow, that's a powerful answer. But I actually think it goes deeper. And I think it goes deeper to the level of it's the consistency with which he breaks conformity that's his key to success. Right from his early days at school, he broke the rules. And then in the music industry, came at everything from a different angle, and he still does. And he can only be consistent because it's authentic. It's not him doing anything other than what he feels is right for him. So we can't be consistent unless we get to that authentic, basic level of what who we really are and what we really want to be known for, rather than making it up for something that is just a nice glossy brand image that we create on the outside. So I think the basics from what you said, and I love that formula, basics, well done, ruthless consistency equals peak performance. That's fabulous. I think the basics come down to authenticity.
Wow, I think that is so, so insightful. That whole point around using Richard Branson as the example, that consistency comes because he's not just trying to be a maverick and break the rules on a one-off occasion. That's him. That's what he stands for. That's what he's built his career and the entire Virgin Empire on, right? I think I'd never thought about that in quite that way before. I think that's such a powerful insight. That's incredible. I nearly just dropped my pencil.
Don't do that bit.
And one of the other things that lots of the MDs and CEOs have been on the show so far have talked about is trust and vulnerability, and sort of not needing to have all of the answers, at times dropping the mask and saying, hey guys, I'm not sure, I don't have all the answers here, what do you think? I just wonder, from a personal branding perspective, kind of what's your take on that, Leslie?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because I think vulnerability and humility are absolutely key elements of a good leadership brand. We need to be seeing more of that in the world, especially right now. And I think trust and vulnerability, and I would add to that humility, are absolutely key things that go together. People need to know that we're real in order to trust us. We can't just rely on great messaging anymore. As I said at the up front of this interview, that brand equals your intention, but the reputation equals the reality. And I just think it's no longer good enough just to say, this is what we intend to do. You've got to build that trust by actually doing it and making people feel good about themselves and feel good about the interaction for them to talk about it and build their reputation. So vulnerability and trust go together. And it's not being afraid to say, I did mess up, but this is what I did about it, and this is how I learned. And if we think about the leaders around us that do that, and we've heard talk about these things, they resonate with us so much. It's not that they just sit on this glossy pedestal and have always got things right in order to get to the level of their career that they have done. I always remember when I talk about humility, vulnerability, a keynote that I was doing for a conference in Poland for a Polish bank a few years ago. And as part of the conference, as well as the keynote I was giving, they had a panel of leaders within the bank. And this was for a leadership conference that we're doing internally. And this leadership panel that they had of senior leaders within the bank were having a discussion beforehand. We were in a room and we were discussing, even though I wasn't part of the panel, what questions they were going to be asked. And I was listening to this and I chipped in at one point and I said, can I just offer a suggestion that one of the questions that you're all asked is, tell us about a time when you messed up and what did you do about it? How did you recover? What did you put in place to come out of that mistake that you made? And they looked at me in horror, as if to say, well, why would we do that and put ourselves, make ourselves vulnerable in this way? You know, we don't want to be doing that. This is supposed to be aspirational for people to see how they can get to this point in their career. And I said, well, I think it would be a great thing to build this trust and this humility aspect. I think you'd be missing an opportunity if you don't do it. Anyway, they didn't do it. And I just really feel to this day that was a massive missed opportunity for all of those leaders, six of them, to express their true brand and build trust and show true leadership. And they missed the opportunity. So,
yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. Leslie, final question to ask you, which is a very timely and pertinent one, I think. What impact do you think the new world of Zoom and MS Teams meetings that we've suddenly been thrust into, where so many of us are working from home? People can often see into our bedrooms, home offices, lounge, kitchens. What does that mean for personal brand? And are there any particular risks or opportunities that this presents for us?
I know that it is harder for us to build our visibility on the surface when we're not in the office and interacting. And over the last few months, delivering group training courses within corporates, I've come across several people who have joined the company right at the start of all of this or in the middle, and they've not met anybody face to face yet. And that's hard. But you know what? I think there's much more opportunity than there is downside to this. So first off, those people have suddenly met 40 other people on that call that they wouldn't have met for the first year probably in the role. So they've met them face to face. It's acceptable to have face to face short Zoom calls now, whereas we would have relied on email more or phone calls. So we have that interaction there as well. I think the opportunities are numerous, because what we're now seeing is this whole thing I've been talking about for years is getting the personality into the company brand. And to see a C-suite executive in their home office when the window cleaner suddenly turns up cleaning the windows, or the dog barks or the child walks in, I think it's phenomenal for authenticity. And as you say, for vulnerability, you know, these are real people. This is what goes on in their lives. And we've had the opportunity to get to know people much more quickly and much more solidly and authentically than we've ever had before. So from a branding point of view, it's been phenomenal and it's here to stay. So we might as well get good at it and use it and see how we can really use it to develop our brands. And of course, that is part of the program that I deliver now, is how do you build your brand when you're working remotely or leading remotely?
I absolutely agree. Kind of whilst I think we've lost quite a lot by all being sort of locked up in our homes trying to work, as you say, I think we've also gained a huge amount by suddenly seeing the real person, right? As you say, when you see someone's husband or wife or partner or kids or pets pop up in the background, it has kind of humanized the world of work and leadership, I think.
Absolutely. And I was watching, I don't know whether you did see whether you watched any of the US election debates, but I was just watching Kamala Harris and Mike Pence with their debate just last night. And towards the end, in the studio, a dog started to bark. And so it must have been a service dog or emotional support dog or something. And to see the reaction, obviously nobody commented on it, but to see Mike Pence actually at that time smiled. And I thought that was just a real tiny bit of human element that came through because this dog had barked, and Kamala Harris the same, you know, just the smile. But they didn't comment. They just carried on, but they acknowledged it. And it was just a really sort of real moment for them both. And that's why I think when you have the opportunity to do a presentation and you can be on a panel or do a Q&A afterwards, that's when the true personality comes across. And that's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Leslie, if people want to find out more or connect with you, what's the best way to do that, and where should people go?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, the website, walkingtall.org, O-R-G, is a good one to go to. My speaker website is leslieeverett.com. There are some public programs that we run and various coaching options that won't be visible on the website, but there is on both websites, there's an opportunity to book a 20-minute, what I call virtual coffee with me, to discuss any element of branding that might be relevant to you. And I can offer a couple of tips right now. So I offer that to everybody, just a virtual coffee, just to discuss leadership brand or whatever element you want to some help with. So the websites are the best place to start with.
Brilliant. I think virtual coffees are the only coffee meetings most of us are having these days. So let's make the most of them.
We'd have to travel anywhere, so it's good.
Yeah. Leslie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. There's some amazing insights in there. Kind of, I've certainly taken loads away to go and use and think about myself, and I'm sure everybody listening will have done the same. So thank you very much indeed.
It's a pleasure, Ben. Thanks for having me, and your podcast is amazing, so I feel honored to be part of it. Thanks very much.
That's very kind. Take care. So there you have it, folks, my interview with Leslie Everett of Walking Tall. I hope you got huge value from that episode. I know I certainly did, as always, and one of my biggest insights was the lesson that Leslie shared from her interview with Sir Richard Branson, particularly around how it's possible to break many of the conventional or perceived rules around brand image, so long as you do it consistently and for genuine and authentic reasons. Leslie has also kindly offered a 15% discount on her online Walking Tall program for listeners of this show. If you're interested in that, simply click on the link in the show notes where you can find out all of the information about the course and how to claim that discount. And as always, folks, if you have been enjoying the podcast, if you're getting value from the episodes, it would be amazing if you could subscribe to the show on iTunes, as well as sharing the links on social media and out to your friends and colleagues. Doing that really does enable us to keep growing the audience, which enables us to keep bringing you more and more interviews with incredible leaders and subject matter experts. That's it for this episode, folks. Take care and lead on.